Last week, we talked about migrants, refugees, and foreigners, and this week is part two. Sort of, so what? Just thinking about that in a practical way. Migrants, refugees, and foreigners, people who've been displaced and end up in a new place, whether for economic or social reasons, for natural disaster, for persecution, for war, they end up among us. And as I've pointed out, most of us fall into that category one way or another. People who've had to move somewhere, even someone as simple as myself who moved across the country because I needed jobs that weren't available in Ontario. And so all people who end up moving to a new place become foreigners, become newcomers in the place where they are. And today I want to talk about practical ways to pass on God's love for them, because the Bible is clear that God loves foreigners. And he has to say that out loud because our typical reaction to foreigners and new people generally isn't warm. Anytime you see people groups displaced, the people they find themselves among, a lot of them have a fearful reaction. And it even happens in smaller levels here within our own society. When someone's new, sometimes our first reaction isn't as warm as God's is. And so we started out last week by reflecting on what God said about foreigners, upon people who are displaced, people who are in a new community. And it's quite clear that God loves them. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the great God, the mighty and awesome God, who shows no partiality and cannot be bribed. That means he doesn't play favorites. He ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. He shows love to the foreigners living among you and gives them food and clothing. So here's for us. So you too must love the foreigners, for you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Talking to Israel about the people who wanted to move in among them and were attracted to them and wanted to become part of their country, he said, welcome them in. You guys were once aliens, you guys were foreigners, you were strangers. Love them like you were loved. And in actual fact, not only does God know this, he has personally experienced it in human form. When Jesus was less than 2 years old, his families became refugees for persecution, for fear that the government would execute their child. At the age of, who knows, 1.5, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary fled from Israel to Egypt in order to avoid the death of Jesus. Here's the truth. All people hunger for a home and a homeland, a place where they're safe and fed and clothed and have shelter. We all hunger for that in a place that we can say is ours, and a place where they're loved, a place where they're belonged. So there's practical steps we can take to provide safety and food and clothing for people. I probably talk with Pastor Bob, and we'll put up maybe on the Facebook page a couple of practical steps we can take to meet needs. Last benevolent offering, or two benevolent offerings ago, we sent the money off to MCC and I think World Vision to care for displaced people. MCC, Mennonite Central Committee, formed in the 20s when the communists, the Bolsheviks in Russia, were busy persecuting Christians, and Christians were fleeing southern Russia and the places where they farmed, mostly Mennonites, and needing help to be resettled. So that's how Mennonite Central Committee got started. They've broadened their mandate for many decades, far beyond just displaced Mennonites, but to displace people anywhere in the world. Mennonite Central Committee is one of the most effective ways that the people of faith have for caring for displaced people. So in 2 weeks, at the TradeX in Abbotsford is the big Mennonite Central Committee fair. I'd encourage you to go, and if not, just go on the website and look how you can donate. We support them as a church. May I encourage you to do that as individuals? The other organization I love is World Vision. Right now, besides the mass movements of people around the world who are not Christian, I mean, we know those flooding out of Syria, those flooding out of Burma, the persecuted Rohingya in Burma fleeing to Bangladesh, all over the world, Christians are being displaced in mass numbers as well. South Sudan is undergoing a terrible, terrible, terrible war, and Uganda, not the richest country in the world, has opened its heart and arms to about 1 million refugees. The idea that they'll bless them and provide good space and food for them so that they can be healthy when they can return. World Vision is helping there. The Democratic Republic of Congo, sadly, is undergoing more strife yet again, and people are being displaced. And again, World Vision is helping there. So in terms of practical needs, loving foreigners, we can do it with our money and our goods. And may I encourage you to do that. Once again, at the end of the service, we're taking a benevolent offering for those in need within our own community as well. But today I want to touch on the other half of that. Physical needs are absolutely crucial. Give. Food, shelter, and clothing are important. But equally as important is the need for displaced people to feel loved, like they belong, like they have a place here among us. Because sometimes it's easier to give our money. You know, it's so easy these days. I just type in my credit card number and off it goes, and it feels like it requires nothing of me. But to spend time and energy with a displaced person or a new person or a foreigner is much more difficult at times. Mother Teresa spoke of a different kind of poverty when she said this: loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. And this is the experience often of foreigners. And now that I'm actually moving, I'm saying, okay, understand that there's people we'll never see out there who are foreigners, who are displaced. Let's do what we can there and here. But let's talk about foreigners in our midst. Because anytime you come into a new circumstance, you are a foreigner, right? Every time you go to a new school, you know what it means to be a foreigner, don't you? You're learning a new culture, and you might be a little outside. And it's a tough thing, isn't it, to be that new person? May I say, on Sunday mornings when you wander into a church because your heart is aching and you're looking for the love of Jesus, sometimes you feel like a foreigner. And you're looking for a place to belong. And we can have a part in that. This is how we can practically love foreigners. We can reflect God's heart. Because this is what Psalm 68:6 says. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. Because everybody hungers for a place where they feel at home. Everybody hungers for a place where you walk in and it's become your place too. Yes? You know what it's like. You start a new school. We moved around a lot as a kid, and so I was the new kid in school. And often what boys do to try and ingratiate themselves to others is act silly. My daughter permanently complains about how annoying teenage boys are, but it's some of our ways of trying to connect with people, yes? We know what it is to feel lonely, and everybody hungers for a home, and today this is my annual talk about making people, and I use the word foreigner because anybody who comes into a new circumstance is a foreigner to that circumstance, how to make people feel at home in this church family. Let's partner with God in making people welcome. So this is my annual TLAC talk. You've had it probably 3 or 4 times now. TLAC. That's what I want you to remember. Go away, and if you look at me and you're thinking somebody in the foyer today, or this applies at work, think TLAC. TLAC stands for turn, look, listen, and ask questions. And this is a way of giving your time to people. I'm looking at you, Peckinpahs, because you guys are good at this. Yeah, thanks, Darren. Yep. But it is true. Turn, look, listen, and ask questions is a way of practically giving people of ourselves and our time to make them feel welcome in our midst. So turn and look is actually a body posture. It's physically how you stand. Now, when I was looking up and I typed in for Google Images, closed body posture and exclusion, unfortunately, 90% of the images were females, and 90% of the images were of teenage girls. And but we're all capable of this. This is closed body posture, right? And this often happens completely unintentionally in the foyer after a service. You're so keen to see that special friend, and this is the once a week time you get together, and you get there, or two or three of you get together, or two or three of us get together, and we turn in towards each other, and we want to catch up, and that's so important, isn't it? So glad to see your friends. But think about it. Maybe that actually could wait a few minutes, because right in the foyer, that indicates, and that kind of body posture says, to outsiders, maybe you're not welcome. This is what open body posture looks like. This man is actually quite famous. He's a retired, I think, postal worker in Jamaica, and he stood in this roundabout there, and for 10 or 15 years, said hello to everybody as they drive past, and that welcome changes people's days. But that's open body posture. And this is the kind of body posture we want to have on Sunday mornings. It's say, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to me and my group of friends. You know what that's like? Can I tell you, it's actually, for those of you who've come here for a long time, you're welcome. You're looking forward to walking up on Sunday. You're going to see certain people's faces. But if you're new, and you're walking into this different culture, it's really intimidating. Sometimes it's great when you come with a friend who has already been there, but you're just looking for that one friendly face who will say, I'll talk to you. I'll acknowledge you. That turn and look is so crucial. It says, yes, you exist and you're welcome here. Amen? And now, not all of you are that people. Some of us have that gift more than others. But I know when I walk in on Sunday morning, if I see Darren Peckinpah, I belong. Well, yeah, to you too, Marina. Oh, you're just saying, yes, this is my husband, Darren, the welcoming machine. When I see So, hey, So Gay, I know I'm totally at home. Or I see Dorothy or Jacques, that open body posture says, you're welcome, you belong. So turn and look and invite somebody into your conversation. You know, there's this great blessing in Numbers chapter 6. God instructed Moses to give this blessing to the priests. Say to them, this is what the priests are supposed to say to the people of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now get this in terms of posture. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Yeah? When I saw Sylvester this morning, his face shone upon me. When I saw Betty this morning, her face shone upon me. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. There's a posturing of our God. He turns his face towards his people. That is giving human beings dignity and life and worth and value. And that's what he asks us to do whenever we gather, is to have that posture towards the new ones. Towards each other, turn, smile, let your face shine upon one another. Be delighted with people with God's delight. So turn and look. That's the toll. The second L is listen. And that's small talk. Now, I'm gifted at small talk. I can talk about almost anything with almost anybody at the drop of the hat. I can talk about European beer making from centuries ago when it was the only way to have clean water. And I can talk about motorcycles, and I can talk about guitars, and I can talk about politics. I'm gifted at it. Not everybody is. So I'm going to give you a few pointers today. Was I just bragging about myself? Well, we all have gifts, don't we? My gift is the retention of useless trivia. I do not know where my car keys are, but useless trivia, yeah, I've got it in spades, and it comes out as small talk. But most of us struggle with small talk and feel like this. I have a wonderful friend I met in Bible college, Leslie, and she said, "Oh, I am the most awkward person in the world. Sometimes I feel that right after the church service, I should just go straight out to my car, sit down, close the door, and lock the doors because I just don't know how to make small talk." And many of us feel that way. So I want to give you a few pointers today on how to make small talk, because that's a way of listening to others, of turning and looking at them. To lack. Turn, look, listen, and listening equals asking questions. So the first basic small talk question is, "Hi, my name is Frank. What's yours?" Now, a few tips on remembering names. Here's the absolute truth. You will forget the person's name. You will forget the person's name. Do not be embarrassed to ask again. You know, pastors, one of the things that really helps you is if you remember people's names. And I'm pretty good at it, but I got to tell you, there's just some people, for some reason or not, I will just forget their name over and over again or mix it up. Travis and Matthew Rempel, I have inverted for the last 4 years, and I finally got it this year because Travis worked with us here at the church. But don't be embarrassed to ask again, because the truth is, they've forgotten your name, yes? I love these two bumper, or these two slides. "Hi, I can't remember your name either. And yet we had a long discussion about American politics and the history of the Republican Party." You know, or whatever. You had a long conversation, you realize 10 minutes into the conversation, this is one of the greatest conversations I've ever had, and I've completely forgotten their name. Don't be embarrassed to ask again. Or even more like it, "It's nice meeting you. I forgot your name as soon as you said it." Yeah? It's the truth, isn't it? And I must admit, my dear friends, that sometimes I've been struggling with Karen names, but I'm working on it, and I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So, a few tips on remembering names. One, don't be embarrassed to ask again. True, make up positive names. Cool Colton. Terrific Travis. Silver Fox Cheryl. You know I've said that. What a babe, eh? Shh. It was our anniversary the other day, and I got a card from her, and someone else forgot to give a card in return. But we won't mention that, will we, honey? So a positive name that goes with him. I think of Altitude Alvin. Alvin on sound back there, he fixes helicopter engines. Altitude Alvin. Beautiful Betty. Remember, a positive name to go along with them. And then in the conversation, once you realize that the person has forgotten your name as soon as you said it and vice versa, drop your name in conversation. You can. So you're talking about with Alvin about helicopters and you're saying, "Oh, it's so great." You can say something like, "Well, Alvin, I was talking to my wife and Cheryl said, Frank, someday I'd like to go up in a helicopter." Find some way to introduce your name back into the conversation, or don't be embarrassed to simply say, "Yes, Lyle, I forgot your name again." So help each other remember. So that's chief first small talk question. That's the ul of listen in to lack. Second small talk questions, try an open-ended question. In other words, a question that needs more than a one-word answer. In other words, what brought you here today? "Oh, well, I was in the neighborhood and I was looking for a church and I thought I'd come. Or whatever. It opens the door for conversations. Or just as easy, who brought you here today? Oh, well, Alvin brought me here today. I met him at the shop and we worked together and it just opens conversation. Who brought you here today? Well, then where do you know them from? What do you do for fun? Well, you ask me for that and I'll say, well, I play guitar. Well, why? Well, because in 1971, living in New Zealand, I saw Eric Clapton on TV and my life was changed. What do you do for fun? Or this is more like a one-word answer, but it's an easy place to start. Great weather, eh? It's not very open-ended, but it starts a conversation. Or, yes, looking for some rain. Or, fantastic preacher, wasn't he? Or more open-ended, what did you get out of the service today? What were you hoping for? What did you get out? You know, that might be a deeper or second level question you get in, but if you get into a conversation, you want to keep it going. What did you get out of it today? What were you hoping? What did God say to you? Or all these questions, you're looking for something in common, some experience to build upon. You can even say, and I love this, did the sermon put you to sleep as well? Because I can tell there are just so many different type of sleepers in a church service. I've yet to see a Mr. Bean, but I've seen the one eye. That one's great. There's actually one person who regularly does the one eye. There's some head bobbers, and they're funny because you're actually worried they're going to need chiropractic help afterwards. And may I tell you the great secret? Because sometimes Sunday morning it's hot today, so this is a short message, but you're just too exhausted, and the preacher is just so soothing, you just need to sleep. I sit behind a tall person and assume the prayer posture. Now, actually, most of the time you see me like that, I am actually praying, but sometimes, Bob and bless, Sylvester. So that's to lack. Turn, look, listen, and ask questions. And it's interesting because sometimes the way we show God's love to other people is really simple. It's the giving of our time and attention. And that's so crucial to making foreigners, newcomers, other people feel at home in the same way God does to us. You know, when Jesus talks about the Father in the story of the prodigal son, the Father is waiting. His face is open. His arms are open towards his lost son. That's the way God is towards people. And on Sunday mornings and at work, you can practice this, making people feel at home. And I'm going to end with this before we move into contemplating what we're going to do in as we celebrate communion. So you've welcomed people, you're in the foyer, you've turned, looked, and listened to them and asked them a few questions. Then take the next step, plan ahead and follow up. Leave enough time to visit after the service. As I said always, church is not this. Church is a group of people filled with the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are God's church. And it's just as much worship of God when in the foyer after the service we love one another and love newcomers. So set aside time for that. And plan to go for lunch afterwards or have people in your home. Someplace inexpensive and tasty, and we've answered that question with Wendy's. Now, some of you may dispute us on the tasty portion of that, but it's inexpensive and it's close. And the reason we go there all the time is just so there's a standing invitation. And if you're new today, my wife and I, Lyle and Heather, just stick your hands up. Lyle was a guy playing a guitar. My wife is a silver fox. She'll be serving communion with me. We go there. It's cheap. If you've got kids, you can generally eat. You can find a burger cheap enough. Just come and join us. Many of our crew go to Pho afterwards or sushi. Shannon, wave your hand around. Sometimes it's Shannon and Bob often go and Cheryl and Dorothy. And there's lots of places. But we want to carry on and visit with you afterwards. We include people in our families because God does. Amen? Thus endeth the formal part of this sermon. What I want to do now is a little different. I want to spend some time contemplating the Lord's Supper. I don't know about you, and let me just introduce this for a second. If you're new to us, we practice an open communion. That is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've given your life to Him, and excuse me, I'm just going to close this door for a minute. If you've given your life to Him, Ellie, can you do that for me? Thanks, sis. That's a happy noise anyways, isn't it? If you've given your life to Him, you're welcome to take these elements. We don't do any religious test. It's between you and the Lord. But as we hand out these elements, we often, time seems to slow down, doesn't it? As we read the scriptures about what God has done. And so what I want to do today is offer just a little more time ahead of communion to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to allow us to enjoy what Jesus has done for us in offering His life on the cross for all of us, and by His resurrection. You know, when you read the Bible or we watch those videos I've been showing about from the Bible Project, all of history from God's point of view, He created everything, passes through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And it comes to shining focus in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the point at which God is reconciling the entire universe to Himself, in which the invitation is open for all of us, every human being from all ages, to return to God and receive His life. And as we contemplate the resurrection that followed, that's the promise of eternal life for every one of us. And so once a month when we celebrate this and when we read the words of institution, time seems to slow down because this is the culmination of all time. So today what I want to do is allow more time for us to hear the words that Jesus spoke that sum this up for us. So I'm going to invite Pastor Bless to join me. Don't forget to put the battery back in the microphone. And Colton and So, can you please pass out? You'll find in your bulletins today a little handout, Karen on one side, English on the other. And Bless and I are going to read this. Put your hands up if you don't have one of these. I've got one for everyone. Colton and So have one for you. So just put your hand up. I see Jasmine needs one, and Chi-Chi, just put your hands up. Everybody got one? Okay. Shay wants one weight in the back there, Colton. And this is recorded in the Gospels. And in some of the Gospels, the whole last week of Jesus' life just takes up so much time. The world slows down and comes to a focus on this. And these words here are Jesus' words, mere hours before He'd be arrested, persecuted, tortured, and killed. Knowing that, Jesus gathers with his friends. And this is what's recorded in Mark's gospel. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many."
Do ota pemido yeshu hiniko do sugeta sublewe do hilawe thi do siweda hiniotge a imi no kula do hini lokho do sitopotra abruapho do hilawe thi do awethi de pa kele o tale apulo do siba o a imi thwi bakado ta elo olo atho le alulo athale pa agagolo.
Allow these words to wash over you. Bless, and I will read them again in a few moments, but just sit in this moment of the forgiveness of God. I'm going to read this one more time and bless us as well. And then I'm going to ask you a question, and you can either answer it out loud or in your heart. But how is the forgiveness and new relationship with God that communion remembers affected you? And I'll give time for a number of you to speak it out. From Mark chapter 14, verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many."
Maku asero de si lui sapo kisi ki yo de kisi lui do ota pemu do yeshu hiniko do sugeta suble we do hilo awethi do siweda hini otke a imi no kholo do hini lokho do sito potrata abluapho do hilo awethi do awethi de pakhele order le apulo do siba o a imi thui bakado ta elo olo atho le alulo asale bo aga golo.
How has this forgiven it and the new relationship with God affected you in your life? I'll give some time if one of you would like to share.